Good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network, South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program every Monday at noon right here on your local station, online at grnonline.com, or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. You can also join us on Facebook. If you can, go to GRN South and Central TX, GRN South and Central TX, and join our Facebook page there. Want to thank everyone who is tuning in from, of course, Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and right here in San Antonio. We are grateful that you have decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. Now, excuse me, on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting different people, ministries, and events that are going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, we're going to be speaking with Patrick Von Dolan from San Antonio Family Association about their June 20th Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage Rally. In the second part of the program, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Javier Montesel and Dr. Allison Gray from St. Mary's University Theology Program. And we're going to get you caught up on what's going on at St. Mary's with the theology program and getting signed up for the fall session. But before we begin those conversations, of course, as you know, here at the Guadalupe Radio Network, we begin everything in prayer. And so we want to remind everyone to, of course, pray for our Archbishop Gustavo, pray for Bishop Gary Yannick, Bishop Arturo Cepeda, all our priests, deacons, seminarians, nuns, religious, and our country, of course. Got to pray for our country, our president, and of course for our Spurs, our San Antonio Spurs, who have who are the Western Conference champions. And thanks to the Salesian sisters out there doing their thing out there, praying with the Spurs. It's awesome. So let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to point out one thing that's coming up, because you got to know all about this. Our summer Share-a-thon is next week. And it is going to be a great Share-a-thon Monday through Friday, June 8th through the 12th. June is the, of course, the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so our theme goes along with that. Our theme is consecrated to the Sacred Heart. And so at that point in time, during the Share-a-thon, June 8th through the 12th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., if you could call in your one-time or monthly pledge of support, I guarantee you it'll help us out tremendously, and we'll keep Catholic Radio on the air. Again, it's our summer Share-a-thon next week, June 8th through the 12th. So from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you can call that in. It's going to be a great, great summer Share-a-thon. I feel it. I love this theme that we have. And of course, with June, today's June 1st. So we're celebrating the Sacred Heart of Jesus all month long. So I want to turn to my first guest. It's 4 after the hour. I want to give him plenty of time, because Patrick Von Dolan has traveled here to the studio to talk to us about the San Antonio Family Association. And of course, about the upcoming June 20th Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage Rally. So let's get you on there. Patrick, how you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy 1st of June. Happy Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus month. And
absolutely.
We celebrate a great martyr today in St. Justin, who only was contemplative but conquering and was willing to give his life as a ransom for us, just like Jesus did in well, and I celebrate him, but in his fidelity to our Lord. You know, if it could, real quick.
Yeah.
San Antonio Fam Association has been around since 2011.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell us a little bit about SAFA, San Antonio Family Association, because we may have listeners out there who are like, who is that?
Right. Well, and so much of it is, you know, in the creed, we have one holy Catholic and apostolic church.
That's right.
And we are called to be contemplative and conquering. As Mike Konufke, the president of San Antonio Fam Association, says, contemplative and conquering. And that means that we participate in the sacraments, we grow in our theology, in our unity with Jesus, but also we got to carry it out, not only in our homes, the domestic church,
right,
but also into the public square. And that's really where San Antonio Fam Association came about. Is I've been a member of the Knights Columbus since I was 18. My dad was past state deputy. Matter of fact, he was joking with me the other day that he's now the oldest living state deputy.
And, is he really?
Meaning the past state deputy that's not necessarily a good sign from a ephemeral lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah.
Lifespan, but he's only 82, so he's.
And you're still at St. Mark the Evangelist,
still
right?
Still pretty sure St. Mark the Evangelist.
I just saw Father Dennis the other day.
Yeah, and Father ATT, and both of them have been out to our dove hunts.
Yeah,
and so we love having our priests and all the deacons,
seminarians,
priests and seminarians get to come as our guests for free. And that'll be in the first part of September. We'll be announcing that and hopefully come back on to talk about that.
We'll be talking about that again.
And
more
information at SanAntonioFamAssociation.com. But if I could, today's catechism quote, if I real could, because this is one thing Danny Peacher, one of our board members, founding board members, is really harping on this. He's on his parish council at Blessed Sacrament, and participation in the liturgy is so crucial.
Yeah.
And I have a wife who's a convert, and we all have family members who are different levels of struggle and participating in that. But I want to read something that's really good. This is from paragraph 1069 of the Catechism. The word liturgy originally meant a public work or a service in the name or on behalf of the people. In Christian tradition, it means the participation of the people of God in the work of God. And that's from paragraph 1069. So it's not about just sitting in the pews, daydreaming during Mass, or like playing a game on a Sunday or whatever else. It's and where they you sit there and you get nothing out of it. Mass is intended for us to engage. It's not for entertainment.
Right.
It's for participation. And so we carry that when the Mass is concluded and we go forth. And I always love when the deacon gives the final calling to us to go forth and make your life an example of Christ. I'll find it here in a second exactly what it is to be an example for Christ in the world. Is we are not called to do that, most importantly, our domestic church, our home,
right,
but also in the public square. And that's where San Antonio Fam Association is to protect, defend, and promote the family in the public square. And so it's to take it. And what I was saying about the Knights of Columbus is I've been a member since I was 18. I'm a past charter grand knight of the Aggie Knights of Columbus Council, started that council back in 1990.
Yep.
And a lot of the friends in San Antonio now were through the Holy Spirit recruited those men at A&M. And so we carry that forward, but most of the Knights of Columbus work is inside the church community, inside the parishes.
Right.
And so where we saw a need was in the public square, and that's where most of the board is Knights of Columbus members, but we go forth into the public square to handle issues impacting the family,
right,
life, liberty, religious freedom, marriage, free markets, and actually most importantly—
the unborn.
Yeah, that's right, in life, and most importantly is some of those is purity and chastity and modesty. And that we lack so severely, and we see it in this, whether it be the Spurs games, whatever. Although the Salesian sisters are beautiful and they're
awesome
in their white habits, and it's great to see them. And saw a couple of videos of them, and they're focused on their mission about bringing young people to Christ and how beautiful that is.
And it's elevating God.
It is.
You know, I mean, I love that aspect of it. It's elevating God. And then what does he do? Luke Cornett has the block of his lifetime.
Right.
Right.
Oh, right.
That's intervention. I mean, I love it.
It is. It is providential and divine intervention. We need to look for those little miracles in our daily life.
Correct.
It gives us hope. And we just came through the season, just completed Easter, and a season of not only faith with the resurrection, hope in the ascension, and then love of God with Pentecost. And we just finished the Pentecost octave. How beautiful it is with Holy Trinity Sunday to focus on faith, hope, and love and increase those in our life, because those looking for little miracles in our lives on a daily lives increases our hope, and especially in the doldrums of the ordinary rat race of life. So San Antonio Fam Association, one of the things we do is advocate and educate on life issues. And we've done that. The first big issue was in 2015 when the city of San Antonio had given favored zoning to the local Planned Parenthood abortion facility to move at 2140 right. Babcock, the current location of it. And there were five zoning objective zoning violations. We filed a lawsuit against them. So we worked from a judicial side, an administrative side, because they had a what's called a unified development code right. review that year. And then we also worked from a legislative side. And we've passed the very first piece of legislation at City Hall, City Council chambers on December 17, 2015, just got through celebrating 10 years of that, where it would never allow another facility to move in adjacent to a resident established residential neighborhood again. And our lawsuit ended up going away because of the situation with our plaintiff. But we were able to utilize it to rally support in the community and to bring about this floor vote. Is literally against city staff recommendation. We had, if you know anything about city politics and everything, they tend to be left, far-leaning left issues that they promote. And so we actually got from the floor after 18 months of work that we were able to get a 7-4 vote and win that vote and protect any future residential neighborhood from being bombarded by an abortion facility coming in next to them. The next thing
right.
that actually going back our very first fight in 2011 that brought about the San Antonio Family Association was a play called the Corpus Christi play, where they used public funds, $143,000 of public funds, to promote the portraying of Jesus Christ and his disciples as promiscuous homosexuals, and with lewd sex acts having the man playing Jesus while he's hanging on the cross. And it was in a public theater called San Pedro Playhouse, St. Peter's Playhouse in the city of St. Anthony, right. and how offensive it was. And so we rallied in 17 days of prayer, led into following the budget process when the city made its first official act against marriage ever. And our community is now 308 years old. The city itself was founded in 1817, I believe, so not as old, but first time ever the city passed and approved a measure allowing promoting and condoning cohabitation of city employees, and so they provided what was called domestic partner benefits, non-married lifestyle benefits to people living together
right.
to have health benefits and everything else. And so there's a first official attack undermining marriage. And so we've seen it, the progression of that grow. And from then, our next battle on a religious liberty issue was in 2019 when the city banned Chick-fil-A from the San Antonio airport. We filed a lawsuit against the city then as well and educated and advocated on how the importance of religious liberty was. And we won that at Texas Supreme Court. And so prevented that. Unfortunately, the Chick-fil-A is still not
there. They decided not to go in.
They've decided not to go in at this date still.
Yeah.
And that could always change. More friendly environment possibly one day. Not currently. But anyway, so we took that religious liberty aspect up. We saw in 2015 a court case called Obergefell go through the court system to the Supreme Court, where right. the Supreme Court ruled on Obergefell is now just right at 10 years now, just over 10 years of that. That legalize same-sex couples to get legally married in the United States of America, and an offense and an undermining of marriage and an attack on the dignity of marriage as Jesus Christ established it. And, the God in Genesis 1, 26, 27 says, be fertile, a man and woman, be fertile and multiply, fill the ends of the earth and subdue it. And then we right. saw Jesus' first public miracle in what we pray every luminous mystery, the second luminous mystery of the wedding feast at Cana, and the fruit of that is to Jesus through Mary. Well, Jesus elevated marriage to a sacrament at that point in time, and so we saw an attack on marriage between man and woman, and then we come forward. It's still going on for us, but in 2023. Another life issue that came in San Antonio where the city decided to use $500,000 and then $100,000 later to pay for people's young women's to travel to buy an abortion outside of the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And so our lawsuit is actually still going on. We did during our fight, legal fight, we at the same time worked legislatively. We worked in a cultural standpoint. So everything starts with a cultural aspect to it, to educate and advocate people of why these basic things are so important for our society. And then from there, that standpoint, we did continue with the judicial side and the lawsuit. Now, our lawsuit still, we're waiting on a decision by the Texas Supreme Court at this point. And on that situation, but we passed the bill. Senate Bill 33 came into law last year, September 1, and now no municipality or city can spend any taxpayer money throughout the state of Texas to procure, to use for women to go buy an abortion. Right. And so we have a long history now of fighting for life and marriage and religious freedom. And so all that sort of culminates in what we're talking about today.
We got five minutes to
Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes to invite everybody to come out, and let's give them the details.
Saturday, June 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. And Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage, you'll find more information at SanAntonioFamilyAssociation.com. SanAntonioFamilyAssociation.com. Yes, it's long, but spell it out. We try to get SAFA in there, and somebody wants a lot of money for that website, over $10,000. And if we had a donor out there who wanted to help us with that, it'd be great, but we're not in a position to do that. But SanAntonioFamilyAssociation.com. Go to Sacred Heart March under events, Sacred Heart March for Life and a Marriage, Saturday, June 20th. And from 12 to 3 p.m., we'll have a live band, Revelation Rising. They've been out there many times. Y'all have heard them. And they're a fantastic gospel group. And then we'll have a march at 1 p.m. And then at 2 p.m., speakers, a rally, and some incredible speakers like Nancy Charles. Nancy Charles is a woman you can look up and find. She, for over 15 years, she led a homosexual lifestyle and also drug addiction. And through the Holy Spirit, she came to learn about the Holy Catholic Church and converted and lives a chaste, virtuous lifestyle now. And she's going to be able to share her story and how the damaging side effects in her own life and how that applies to the culture and our community. And so how it's not good for that and how important life and marriage are. So two major things we're going to be doing at the Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage Saturday, June 20th from 12 to 3 p.m. is the first is commemorate the Obergefell decision. And the Obergefell decision, what I just described, that legalized same-sex couples to paramours to legally marry in the United States of America. And that opened the door for many bad depravities that came as a result, and our communities are being derogatorily, diametrically impacted by that. And then also life, to celebrate life, right? And so it's a commemoration of Obergefell, and it's a celebration of the Dobbs decision that where Texas, through the Supreme Court decision, rolled back the legalization of abortion all months of gestation to a state regulation. And the state of Texas already had trigger laws into effect that went into effect as soon as that happened, and that made Texas abortion free, officially abortion free. There are still illegal abortions still happening in Texas, and unfortunately, whether it be through migrants and the coyotes that are bringing them in, they have their own abortionists with them to illegal abortions that are going. But officially, Texas is abortion free. And we celebrate that Dobbs decision. It was released in 2022. So, the Obergefell decision in 2015, we're commemorating the 2022 Dobbs decision. We're celebrating, but all about the emphasis of the dignity of the human person, the vital importance of life, because without life, there's nothing else. And then upholding marriage, which is the bedrock of society, that the building block, the family, is built upon. And so SanAntonioFamilyAssociation.com, you can get more information for the Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage.
And where's that going to be at? Downtown?
It'll be downtown, right in front of the cathedral, San Fernando Cathedral, on Main Plaza. And so we've got that secured and everything. And so it's a very much a family event. So bring your families. It'll be hot, so bring your water and everything.
Oh, it's going to be hot.
And umbrellas and stuff like that.
And your walking shoes.
Walking shoes and comfortable clothes. But we'll have security there with the constables, Precinct 3, on site. And then SAPD will go with us on our march to the Alamo back.
All right, Patrick, thank you for coming on. Patrick Bondolin, SanAntonioFamilyAssociation.com. Go see them June 20th, 12 to 3, at the cathedral. Listeners, hang tight. We'll be right back. Patrick, thanks for coming in.
Great to be here. Adios.
The 2026 Summer Share-a-thon is right around the corner, and our theme is Consecrated to the Sacred Heart. Starting Monday, June 8th through Friday, June 12th, we'll be on the air asking for your financial support to help keep the GRN beaming across South and Central Texas. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. Thank you, and may the Lord abundantly bless you.
Fullness of Truth is hosting its Summer Catholic Family Conference June 5th through the 7th. The Catholic Culture Revival 3.0 will be held at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, Texas. Conference speakers include Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jennifer Baugh, and Jesse Romero. There will also be a Saturday youth track and family-friendly activities. There's even a comedy show with Catholic convert Shane Smith. Conference registration and hotel information can be found on their website, fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org.
Join the Archdiocese of San Antonio Saturday, June 6th for the Feast of Corpus Christi. Every year, the Archdiocese celebrates the Feast of Corpus Christi with a Mass at San Fernando Cathedral, followed by a Eucharistic procession through the streets of downtown San Antonio. The celebration will begin with the 5 p.m. Vigil Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession led by Archbishop Gustavo through the streets of downtown San Antonio. Let us gather in faith and unity to honor the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, giving public witness to the love of God dwelling among us.
I grew up in Catholic school. I went to church every Sunday, but I still find myself with so many questions about the faith. If this sounds like you too, join me, Bailey Garland, on The Quest, a pilgrimage of faith. And let's journey together navigating different topics that we encounter as Catholics with trusted priests to guide us along the way. I invite you to call into our show with your questions and we can learn together. You can listen to The Quest live on the radio or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app weekdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
And welcome back, everyone. Patrick Von Dolan, thanks for coming by. San Antonio Family Association. He came by to let everybody know that on June 20th, 12 to 3, they're going to be downtown in front of the cathedral for the, they've got their Sacred Heart March for Life and Marriage Rally. So I'm sure they're going to have a great turnout out there. I believe we're going to be out there as well. And, you know, San Antonio Family Association, wish them a blessed event. And I know, Mike Knufke is out there listening as well. So Mike, you and Patrick have a good event, and, Danny Petrie and all the gang. So I think you guys are going to have a great time. And again, that's June 20th. Go to sanantoniofamilyassociation.com for more information under their events tab. You'll be able to find that. And, just a quick reminder. I know you just heard that public service announcement. Summer Share-a-thon is next week, June 8th through the 12th, and our theme is Consecrated to the Sacred Heart. This is the month of June, June 1st today, and we are celebrating the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So how fitting is this to have St. Mary's University, my alma mater, go Rattlers, in the house today, in the studio. I am so excited. And, you know, when I got your call, Dr. Javier, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, let's get you guys in. Let's talk about St. Mary's, the theology department. But Dr. Javier Montesel, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
I guess I should turn on your mics. Welcome to the program. Dr. Javier, you are the current program director at the theology department.
Yes.
Current. And our department chair, Dr. Allison Gray, is also joining us in studio. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting us.
I'm going to put the camera on y'all because you're going to be answering all the questions. But thank you for coming in. You know, let's get started with, you know, our audience out there, our listening audience, are probably like, okay, you're going to talk about St. Mary's, the theology department. What is it all about? What do y'all do? How did y'all get here? And a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I'll jump in.
We'll start with Dr. Allison Gray.
Great. Dr. Allison Gray, I teach New Testament and early Christian literature in the theology department. I started at St. Mary's in 2016, right out of grad school, where I was at the University of Chicago.
Nice.
So this has been a nice change. Come to Texas. It's much warmer all year round.
My son just graduated from Chicago, Loyola Chicago.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not far from where you're at.
Yeah. So it's been a good time here. I was for a short period of time the graduate program director, which is Javier's role at this point. And now starting June 1 today, I'm stepping in as department chair.
Congratulations.
Leading all of us around. Thank you. And so teaching lots of theology intro classes, anything about New Testament, interpretation of the New Testament up right. to today, and a lot of stuff that was going on in the early church.
Gotcha. And Dr. Javier, of course, my point of contact at St. Mary's University. And, you know, we're also doing a 3-month, you guys are sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network because we're trying to encourage everybody to enroll, right?
Yeah, I'm very happy to be sponsors and trying to get the message out there about what it is we do, what academic theology is, what we have to offer. Like Dr. Gray, like Allison, I am a theologian. I've been a part of the theology department at St. Mary's for now. I'm going into my 5th year, and I've been directing this program in graduate theological studies now for 3 years. But I come from a totally different place, which is kind of why theology is amazing. I did my studies at Fordham University, Harvard Divinity School, and then Boston College, where I did my doctorate. And I'm trained as a moral theologian. So I'm in theological ethics. That's what I love. My research focuses on liturgy and ethics. So I'm also a nerd for sacramental theology, liturgical theology.
That's a funny way of putting it.
So I leave the Bible experts their territory. They're much better at looking at these complex questions of scripture and tradition on the basis of the biblical literature. I'm a nerd for natural law. I'm a nerd for virtue, all these things. And that's just a sampling of the kind of things that we do in the department. We want to get the message out there about our program, about graduate theological studies at St. Mary's. We offer a master's degree, we offer certificates, and we're happy to talk a little bit about what we offer.
As you're talking, Dr. Javier, I'm thinking about my days at St. Mary's. I was required to take 9 hours of theology, which I did, and I loved it. I loved it. You know, it was Father Newman. I think I took Father Newman was my professor. But, you know, this is not an undergraduate study program, right? This is a graduate?
Well, so the brilliant thing about St. Mary's is that we have both, which is sort of why there's both of us in the department. One of us looks after the graduate side of things and one of us looks after the undergraduate side.
Okay.
One of the wonderful things about St. Mary's is that we are a Catholic Marianist liberal arts institution. Mm-hmm. And part of the way in which that identity is expressed in the sort of everyday life of the university and in our academics is in the core curriculum. And theology is still a part of the core curriculum.
I was going to ask, because it has to be still in there.
Yes.
Six required hours.
Six now. Mm-hmm. Okay. It was 9 back then, but that's a beautiful department. I mean, when you take theology and you start learning about, you know, a lot of stuff that's, you know, goes kind of deep, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And
theology is really wonderful because, as I said, it involves so many different kinds of inquiry, right? We've got faculty who do, like me, ethics, moral theology. We've got faculty who do biblical studies, New Testament or the Christian scriptures, Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures. Right. We've got faculty who study early Christian literature outside of the Bible. We've got faculty who work in systematics, right? Looking at doctrine and the development of doctrine and so on. So theology is sort of internally diverse in that way. And the sort of other side of that is that it can be a little bit hard to understand what it is that theologians do. Like, what exactly is theology? Of course, the kind of classical definition of theology is faith seeking understanding, right? From St. Anselm. So St. Anselm had this idea that God is supremely worth talking about, God is supremely worth understanding. And that's what the theologian attempts to do from a standpoint of faith, classically. Now, in modern times, not all theologians are necessarily from the same kind of faith background.
Right.
But we all contribute this work of trying to understand, trying to examine the sources, beliefs, practices of a tradition in order to make that tradition live for today, right? To cause that tradition, to bring that tradition into engagement with contemporary questions and concerns. And that's what really excites us. And that's what we try to help students do at the undergraduate level, of course, right? It's part of their formation as college students. But of course, at the graduate level, at a slightly more advanced and critical level, so that people can go out and use that wisdom to make the world a better place and to serve the church.
So then, you know, we were talking about, you know, your department, and as we're talking to you, you want to, this is enrollment time, right?
Yes.
People, so if someone out there is thinking about enrolling in the program, what do they need to do? And you know, just, I guess, what kind of person are you looking for? And what do they do after?
Yeah, I can jump in and talk about some of our students.
Yeah.
We are looking for people who are curious and excited about real theological questions, right? The sort of where the rubber hits the road of, if I believe this thing about God, or if I believe this thing about the church, therefore, what do I do? Those are sort of the source of theological questions. They come from the sources, but they come from our own experience of life. So if you are out there wondering, why is this the case? Why is this something that the church teaches? Or, well, what do I do with that belief? You are having theological questions,
sure,
right?
Sure.
So people who are curious about that and want to explore it more and want to explore it in community. So our students tend to be older, mm-hmm. returning to school. We have some folks who are fresh out of undergrad who are like, now I want to do a master's in theology. Maybe I want to go on later to do a PhD. I want to teach. But there are a lot of folks who are already involved in parish ministry, who are really passionate about working and serving the church, and they want some extra theological education to better understand what it is they're teaching, what it is they're doing in community.
Right. And so, you know, that was one of the questions I have. What's the difference between taking a class at St. Mary's and taking a class through a parish or at a parish?
I'll tackle that question because I've thought a lot about it as a Catholic. I'm born and raised in San Antonio, Mexican-American Catholic, right? I'm part of the life of the church in San Antonio.
Yeah.
I'm also an academic, and I teach at St. Mary's, and I have these credentials from universities outside of our immediate community. So what is the relationship between what we do in the classroom and what we do in parish life? I think of it this way. Theology in the context of a parish or a course that you might take at a parish asks the question, what does the church teach and how can we integrate that richly into our lives?
Right.
Right. And that's so important, right? Catechesis, religious education, formation is critical to the life of the church. The work that we do at the university in the context of academic theology is related but distinct. The question there is not so much, what does the church teach and how do I integrate it? The question instead is, why does the church or the tradition teach this?
Okay.
Where does it come from? How has it evolved? What are the contexts and questions that gave rise to the answers that our community sets its heart on? And in order to answer that kind of question, you've got to go to the sources, right? You've got to go to the histories. And that's what
you
our courses help
deep.
Us to do. Yeah, you've got to dive deep, right?
Yeah.
Because there's always some kind of story behind the things that we take for granted in our culture and in our communities. And I think, as a person of faith and also as an academic theologian, I think that's when faith gets really exciting, right? When you find your way deeper, you kind of get behind what it is you think you believe and believe it with conviction because you've done the work, because you've looked into the history, because you've looked into the sources, because you've asked questions. And then you're in a position to serve the church and you're in a position to serve your community and you're in a position to serve the academy in a new way because you've done that higher level theological work.
And if I can add, it's not just about the history, right? It's not always just the why did we get to this place? How did we get here? But also, where are we going next?
Where are we going?
Right? If you have those questions, what is the church going to do to respond to AI? How is the church going to respond to new realities on the ground, right? Read the signs of the times, think about what we're doing next. Theologians are on the front pages of that, right? Of sort of, well, let's understand the history of how we got here and think about how the sources speak to us about who we are and what is our contribution to bringing God's kingdom to life. And then what do we do next?
That's exciting what you just said. How is the church going to how are we going to respond to AI? Mm-hmm. You just brought in a subject that just your mind goes, poof, blows your mind because, there's a lot of challenges there.
That is the question of the moment.
It is.
All of us theologians were in many different places around the world. I was traveling in Europe. My colleagues were at their various conferences and attending to their own families. And all of a sudden, this encyclical drops, right? So Magnifica Humanitas was just published, Pope Leo's first encyclical on the question of AI in relation to human dignity, right? That's a theological question. It raises a series of questions. It presents an issue that could not have, that was inconceivable a generation before us.
Exactly.
And yet it's a theological question, and it has everything to do with the tradition and where it came from and where we're going.
And how do you get the truth out there, right? Because mm-hmm. there are so many roads that can, a person can go down, so many, they call them foxholes.
Yeah.
But how do we stop miscommunication, misinformation,
yes.
if you will? That's, I think, the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And theologians, when they're at their best, help to bring everybody to the table
yes.
around these very difficult questions, bring all of the important views and considerations that are pertinent to these questions that touch on the life of the church, and move conversation, move discourse forward rather than having everybody kind of run off down their foxholes, right, and into their camps, right?
It's nice if you're a Catholic out there. Well, a lot of Catholics listen, but if you're Catholic out there and you're listening, you're like, okay, there is a checks and balances. We have our experts, mm-hmm. you know, working on this, making sure that the truth is delivered.
Yeah.
I love hearing that, Dr. Javier.
And the truth is complicated.
It
always.
Is.
In the richest and most beautiful and most abundant way, the truth is complicated. Yeah. And it takes work, right? It's not just a question of reminding ourselves what it is. It's a question of trying to understand what the truth means and where it directs us in this moment.
Right.
Because we've never been in this moment before.
So part of the program is, I take it this is part of the program.
These are the kinds of conversations that would happen in class.
Yeah, right? and I'm looking at the questions you say. I'm like, you know, why go study at a place like St. Mary's University? We're telling you why. You're tackling those current events that are happening, but also reminding everybody of how things started.
That's right. And I think the other reason to do it at a place like St. Mary's is because we do it together. So we have a flexible program. It's
sure.
online courses if you need them, in person if you're here. Happens synchronously. Right. So we bring folks in over Zoom. Everybody knows what Zoom is now. We've been doing that for years before we had to do it. But we have this community that grows of folks who are talking to each other, sharing the questions, digging into the text and sort of saying, well, what does this mean? How do we unpack it? And then the faculty are there as guides to sort of say, here's some research that you could look at, or here's what we can do together. But it happens in conversation because, as you say, theologians get together around the table to explore things together.
You know, you just mentioned the faculty. We got 3 minutes to our break, but tell us a little bit about the faculty over there, where they come from, and I mean the department as a whole, what it's like.
I love our faculty. It's been great working here.
That's a great first intro, right?
You will love our faculty as well. So we've got biblical scholars, New Testament, Hebrew Bible, moral theologians, some who are experts in questions of liturgy and the sacraments, others who are experts on some of these papal encyclicals that have come out, questions of social justice, race, racism, what's going on in the church with that, and systematics, people who are really interested in Christology. If we say we just had Trinity Sunday, right? So what is the Trinity?
How do we
explain that without leaning into something that isn't quite right?
Right.
How has the church evolved to explain that in ways that are relevant for new times and places? So people who are exploring history, ideas.
We're very lucky at St. Mary's. We have not only a...
Very blessed.
We're very blessed. We have not only a functional and wholesome faculty. We're all friends with one another. We also have a fairly large faculty. We've got 6 full-time faculty members at this time. We're really strong, probably the strongest game in town in terms of biblical studies. And it's a wonderful place to work.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but I know at the end of the program, we're going to give information of how to register, how to, you know, all the insights on how to get involved. Right. But you know, as we're talking, I wanted to find out, how does academic theology relate to the needs of our church?
Yeah. So as we've already highlighted, the real questions that people have as the church are questions that theologians are interested in exploring and answering.
Yeah.
But maybe in a more concrete way, what we're training people to do is be attentive to sources, questions, the signs of the time, so that you can go into a parish setting, into a church setting, and help other people answer those questions, right? Many of our graduates go on to do OCIA, religious education, work in the diocese. So,
Dr. Allison, when we come back from the break, I want to pick it up right there because I think it's so important. But we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Listeners, hang tight.
Hi, folks. The 2026 Summer Share-a-thon is right around the corner, taking place June 8th through June 12th as part of the new St. Gabriel Level donation. You'll have an opportunity to win two tickets for this year's Good News Conference taking place in Nashville, Tennessee. Speakers will include Bishop Barron, Father Mike Schmitz, and many others. Make sure to tune in June 8th through the 12th and consider a pledge or one-time donation to support the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. It's an old cliche with deep truth. If we look at all of our brothers and sisters like real brothers and sisters, all made in the image and likeness of God, we will see beauty in all the people we meet. Beauty comes from the inside out. That is not always easy to see when you're facing someone who attacks your beliefs or when discussing critical issues like abortion. But we're called to communicate with love and charity. Beauty is not what the world tells us is beautiful. It's through love that we see beauty. We're called to love our enemies. Just read scripture. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Reread that in the Gospel of Luke. With that love, we can see the beauty even in those we're at odds with on serious life issues. This has been an Epiphany Insight. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Is your marriage struggling? No matter how bad things seem, no marriage is hopeless. RetroVi changes lives. RetroVi is a highly successful Christian peer ministry that helps couples heal and renew their marriages. The next program in San Antonio begins June 12th. For more information or to register, visit helpourmarriage.org or call 210-919-4516.
All right, we're back, everybody, from our break. And I'll tell you what, we're having a great conversation. And we're having a great conversation off the air, too, talking about this. I think this AI thing, it's in our mind. It's in our brain. But joining me in the studio right now is Dr. Javier Montesel, and also the program director over at St. Mary's University, and also the department chair, Dr. Allison Gray. Having a great conversation regarding the St. Mary's University Theology Department. And let's pick up where we left off, because that was a great, what do you do after? You know, you go to St. Mary's, you sign up, you get in, you enroll, you graduate. What next?
So one of the most important things that our students do is continue asking theological questions, right? First, for many, this is a way to explore personal curiosity and continue thinking about what they want to do in the church. And that can look like direct service. We have a lot of folks who go into director of religious ed, right? Young adult ministry. Some folks work at the diocese. I know a couple of folks who've gone up to Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you may know some of our other more recent graduates, what they've been up to.
Yeah, well, we've got graduates of all kinds, right? Folks do go on into ministry, but of course, ministry is broader than just ecclesial ministry.
Sure.
So folks make it into other kinds of careers. We have recent graduates who've gone on to careers in law. We're currently working with a batch of students who want to go on and to continue doing theology, right? They're going after doctorates and
canon law.
Yeah, and I actually was working with a student recently who's interested in canon law.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe they want to enter the academy like us. Maybe they want to become professors. Maybe they want to serve the church as canon lawyers. Maybe they just want to be, whether professionally or not, part of this kind of broader theological conversation that drives the thinking of the church forward. Over the break, you and I were discussing the AI question in relation to the where do our students go next question. And, and I began to share with you that a colleague of mine with whom I was a student at Boston College when I was doing my doctorate was actually one of the key people beside Pope Leo when he released the encyclical on AI, Magnifica Humanitas.
Incredible.
Last month. Now, I can't promise all of our graduates that they will become contributors to encyclicals.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that. I've not yet been invited to sit beside Pope Leo and develop an official teaching document for the church. Nevertheless, right, that's what theologians do, right? They attend to the signs of the times, as Dr. Gray said a moment ago, and they help the church to sort of find its way forward. And that can mean ministry in the sort of traditional ecclesial sense, or it can mean bringing those insights and bringing those values into your own career.
God, that's a great answer. And Dr. Allison, if you want to expound on that?
It's something that we see a growing number of undergraduates in our program right now. We got a lot more majors and minors, and we're hopeful that some of those folks will want to do graduate study as well.
Yeah.
And I love about our graduate program that it is, yes, some people come in right out of their BA. Maybe they studied philosophy and they're like, now I want to do theology. But it's also people who have life experience and are coming at faith informed by family, loss, grief, right? Yeah. All of these things lead to theological questions.
And life experience is an asset, right?
Real
it's a
life
theological asset. It's an academic asset. It's what we look for. I mean, one of the sort of messages I really want to get out there is that our students really do come from all walks of life, and they are in all sorts of different stages in their journeys. We have a good number of students who are at the end of their careers. They're looking to retirement and they're wanting to reconnect with their roots or their faith, or they have an itch somewhere in their brain and somewhere in their heart about a question that is theological, ultimately, that they're bringing to the program. All of those folks are welcome, and all of those folks enrich the kind of theological community we are. So it's not just apply if you have aspirations to be some sort of fancy professor or fancy academic or have a career in the church.
Can I ground that in theological theory? Let's go to our academic roots
Absolutely.
Here. So one of the great insights of Latino theology, especially in the United States, has been that we have to pay attention to lo cotidiano, right? Mm-hmm. We have to pay attention to the day-to-day, and that is what gives us the meat for our theological work. And
real
so
life?
That is valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love. You know, we were talking about, you know, real life issues mm-hmm. that come up that people deal with. You guys deal with that. Now, what is the, tell me about this. Tell me some of the topics that you cover through this program.
Yeah. So I've been recently teaching our basically intro to theology, principles of theological method for students who are incoming.
Right.
And so we've talked about things like moral injury. How do you deal with someone who has been put in a position where their moral conscience has been damaged by something that they've witnessed or something they've experienced?
Yeah.
That's a theological question, right? Yeah. What role does the church, does community have in the work of repair and reconciliation?
Right.
So it can be really specific like that, or it can be, let's do some theorizing about sacred space. What is sacred space? How does it become that? How is it sustained?
Sure.
Does sacred space have to be a physical space, or can it be temporal, right? Do we create a sacred space when we are together where two or three are gathered in his name, right? Can't forget to bring in my
That's
Bible
right.
quote. But like, what is sacred space, and how do we recognize it? How do we create it? How do we belong in it? Who belongs, who doesn't? What are the boundaries? So all of those kinds of questions, you can see we come from any sort of kernel and expand out to all the possible questions you can ask from different perspectives and fields.
Right.
I'm so glad that you brought up moral injury. For the Liturgy and Sacraments course that I'll be teaching in the fall, one of the key questions that we're going to look at is moral injury in the context of liturgy and sacramental practice.
Right.
I think that's a very real, it's a very deep, and it can be a very painful question for some Catholics, right? Like, what about my experiences of the church, or what about my experiences of liturgy that did not feel like I was able to encounter the grace of God, that felt harmful?
Interesting.
What do we do with that theologically, right?
Yeah.
Because the sacraments and the church, right, are the Eucharistic liturgy is the place in which God meets us, right? It's the place in which the living presence of Christ dwells. It's the place in which we're meant to be sanctified, but it's also a place in which we interact with and meet other human beings.
Right.
It's a place in which we interact and meet with systems.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's a place in which we can do wrong and we can get hurt. That seems like a contradiction, but really it's just a kind of space that's ripe for theological reflection.
Yeah.
Right? Who are we when we step into liturgy? Who are we when we step out of liturgy? Why does any of this matter, right?
Yeah.
The real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, why does it matter for the kinds of people that we are in the world? What does it have to do with social justice? What does it have to do with technology?
Yeah.
Right? What does it have to do with the kind of communities that we build? Politics, right? The relationship between rich countries and poor countries, right? Global economy. All of these pieces are interconnected in a way that we want to investigate.
And it's interesting you mentioned, because I remember my undergraduate study. I mean, a lot of this, you know, philosophically and sociology, sociology, the study of groups, right? Yeah. Understanding people. Yeah. I mean, I remember taking those courses, and it's so important that we understand each other first, right? Before mm-hmm. we can move on and treat each other respectfully, because there is a social, not injustice, but I think socially we've kind of, we're at each other's throats and necks now. And it's like, why did that occur? You know, are we seeing too much on the internet, on Facebook, all these social media platforms? So, you know, to be updated like that and to have courses that, you know, address social issues like that, as they pertain today, yeah. is so important.
One of the great gifts of theology in my life I have found is that it offers an opportunity to speak with others, to listen and to be heard by others, even folks with whom I do not necessarily agree.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, in some ways, this work of faith seeking understanding and community that we were discussing is the antidote, or yeah. ought to be, yeah. right, to the kind of at each other's throats sort yeah. of polarization and unwillingness to hear one another. Theology is an opportunity for listening, right? I mean, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, and now Pope Leo, have been insisting on this idea of synodality, right? Walking together and right. listening together. Theology is a big part of that, yeah. right? Because what we're listening for is the voice of the Spirit. What we're listening for are the voices of those who may have been left out of the conversation historically.
Sure.
So that we can learn something about who God is and what God wants for the world.
Theology is deep, and you know, you just said it, but just because you're louder doesn't mean that you're right.
Yes, correct. Isn't that so?
Yep. And you know, we need to have a basic understanding of that, and you know, understanding human beings and why we stand. You know, just because I believe it doesn't mean everybody else has to.
Right.
And so I think we've become a society where, you know, we think we want to impose our will on everybody else.
Yes.
And everybody's entitled to an opinion.
Yes.
But it's how you express that opinion, right. I think, is what matters. Right. And so, you know, talking about the theology program at St. Mary's University. You do have, you know, the program itself. I mean, you have up to date topics that you're talking about. You're talking about Pope Leo, you know, and some of the things that he's trying to accomplish. And you guys go pretty deep, which I think people out there that are thinking about maybe enrolling, mm-hmm. that's a big aspect to your program.
Yeah. We go deep and we go wide too. We try to have it all at St. Mary's. So what makes our master's yeah. in theology distinctive is that it's holistic, it's sort of comprehensive, it's broad based. Yeah. So students who do our master's degree take courses in three different theological areas. It's biblical theology, systematics, or the study of doctrine,
right.
and then Christian life and practice, which is where we look at questions of morals, ethics, spirituality, yeah. and so on. And then there's room for electives. Some other theology programs out there focus a little bit more on one particular theological area,
sure.
but because of who we are and what we want to contribute to the life of the church and to the community, we go wide,
yeah.
right? We go wide and we go deep at the
I
same
love
time.
That.
And that's one of the things that we're really proud of. Part of the reason that we work that way is because of our history, yeah. because of who we are. So our graduate theology program was founded in 1959. By a Marianist, by Father Dyer, and since that time, it originated as a kind of opportunity for the study of six sacred doctrines. Since that time, it has evolved and taken a variety of different forms. But part of the reason we're really proud of that heritage is because that's 3 years before the beginning of Vatican II.
Right.
We were ahead. St. Mary's was ahead of most yeah. other Catholic colleges and universities in the United States in offering graduate theological studies, in particular right. to lay people. So lay people... Right, we do have students who are in religious life
sure.
Or who are looking to ordination, but lay people, because we're Marianist, this is also a big part of our charism,
yeah.
are a fundamental part of what it is we do, yeah. right? Like your theological voice matters as an everyday person in the
Absolutely.
Church, right? Or who wants to be in conversation with the church.
Right.
And that's why we go broad, right? We're not just specialists, we can be, right? But we're addressing a whole range of kind of live issues that come out of the life of the laity, of the people of God in the church.
That's such great
information.
Can I
offer like an yeah. extra reassurance too? We don't expect that folks have a sophisticated background
in theology,
right? I
was just going to ask
right?
that. Yeah.
yeah. we would love it if you've studied theology or philosophy or had some experience with like religious studies. Doesn't have to be at a Catholic school of any
yeah.
kind. But if you don't, We have introductory courses. We have ways to help you get up to speed so that you are learning what is the field of theology, right? As we've been talking about, our courses are designed to do that introduction and that enculturation at the same time as you're already diving into the issues.
A blank slate is sometimes the best. You come in, hey, you're open-minded. Excited to learn. And so before we run out of time, because we're at 55 after, what does it take to apply, and what should a listener do if they have questions or they're interested in attending St. Mary's University Theology Program?
So applying to the graduate program is pretty straightforward. The application is available on the St. Mary's University website. We have a rolling admissions cycle, which means that we're always open to receiving applications and we're always open to admitting students. A student who applies submits transcripts, a statement of purpose. Sure. That's the who am I and why am I interested statement. A small writing sample, asking the student in question to think a little bit about a theological issue. Mm-hmm. Some letters of recommendation. And once the application is in, you begin a conversation with the program director. We start to think about your fit in the program. It's pretty easy to get you enrolled and get you started on courses. It's very straightforward, and it can happen at any time of year. So now what we're really interested in is students who might be looking to start in the fall, but we're always here. We're always available. I don't think I have enough of a background in this to be a barrier to entry. And we also don't want financial concerns to be a barrier to entry. We have all sorts of financial aid opportunities and so on.
That's one. And the website they can go to?
stmarytx.edu.
That's easy. And so we've got information out there on Guadalupe Radio. But I want to thank you, Dr. Javier Montesel and Dr. Allison Gray, for coming on the program.
Thanks for having us. It's fun.
Have a great day. We love you guys. And we'll talk to you soon.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi, host of The Doctor Is In. You are listening to KJMA 89.7 FM here in San Antonio, the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Oh, hey, Mater, where are you towing that car?
Just making a tax-deductible car donation to the Guadalupe Radio Network. Man, that GRN is a life-changer.
Well, that's charitable of you.
And did I mention tax deductible?
To be like Mater and donate your car, call 866-628-2277 or visit grnonline.com and click on donate, and you'll get a tax deduction.
Please join us in a prayer to Saint Anthony of Padua. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O dear protector, Saint Anthony, on this day we direct our fervent prayer to you, asking you to hear us and to intercede for us. We are parents who ask for peace in our families, our worthy occupations, and our daily bread. We are children who ask for divine assistance and protection in the hope of a successful and happy future. We are the needy poor, the afflicted, and sinners who come to you for help and grace. Therefore, speak on our behalf to that child whom you hold in your arms, and we are sure of being heard. Amen.
What do quasi-Christian sects like Jehovah's Witnesses and Star Wars have in common? They all talk about a force. For these sects, the impersonal force is the Holy Spirit. They believe this because in John 14:26, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is neuter, as opposed to personal terms like father and son. So, how do we respond? Well, first, if we hold to this line of reasoning, we're going to have to say God himself is an impersonal force because he's referred to as spirit in John 4:24. But these sects wouldn't want to make that conclusion. Second, the verse that's used in the objection says of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. Folks, impersonal forces don't teach. So, the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. He's a person that we can have a relationship with. I'm Carlo Broussard with A Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thanks for listening to KJMA 89.7 Floresville, San Antonio. On the Guadalupe Radio Network in South Texas. Catholic radio for your soul. Catholic radio for your soul. Heard also streaming on grnonline.com and on your smartphone.